Welcome to Walking in the Word, the weekly teaching series by pastor, teacher, evangelist Eric W. Stansberry, located in Las Vegas, Nevada. This podcast is brought to you every week with the hope of blessing you to find to strengthen your walk with Christ. And now, your teacher, Pastor Stansberry.
Hello, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whenever you happen to be joining us here from Phoenix, Arizona. So glad that you're with me today. Glad that you've decided to join here for Restoration Bible Fellowship's live streaming service, and I hope that you'll find this to be a blessing. Today we'll be looking at Psalm chapter number 11, talking about David's response when the foundations seem like they're unraveling, which I think is a very appropriate topic as we pursue how to become a person after the heart of God. I want to start off with prayer. I want you to remember this one, a very special prayer request. Krista Von Gravett, she's been having some problems, and she needs a touch from the Master. Also remember my wife, Christina, she's having some health issues today and needs our prayer. Remember Billy and Bobby Parker, Lee and Kim Ball. Remember the church at Sloan Lake in North Carolina. They're going through a mighty time of an outpouring. I know the enemy will show up and try to destroy that. Pray for Bishop Lee. This past week, he had some minor surgery done that he'll just be back and at full force and full strength very, very soon. Continue to remember all the schools are getting ready to start. My school starts Monday. We've been in training for this week and next week. Then the next Monday, the first Monday in August, we'll start. So remember the leadership of PTAA. Remember the leadership of Maricopa County Schools. Remember all of those who are engaged in classroom work. You know, we talk about heroes and we look at police and firemen, but teachers are real heroes as well because they work through the pandemic in ways we've never been trained, a lot of them have never been trained to do, and survived and thrived. Let's go to prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your love, mercy, grace, power, and glory. Father God, I ask this morning that you will just reach out. Let the Holy Spirit just move and heal all of these who need a special touch. Lord, we are given permission for a heavenly invasion into an earthly situation that, Lord, you will just begin to heal bodies, restore minds, break revivals out. Lord, I pray for all the churches that I know of that are doing the right. Lord, send souls. I pray for our church at East Phoenix, Lord, that we're helping with right now, that you'll minister to them, that you'll send souls in for the hire, and that, Lord, you will let this broadcast go out and find those who need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And Father, for what we know you're going to do and how you're going to do it, that even amongst the remnant, you're going to bring revival before the judgment of God falls on this nation. And we're going to be careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't own the rights to this song. It's an old Ronnie Henson song from the Henson family. It's called The Lighthouse. There's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks light sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us home. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. Everybody that lives about us, just tear that lighthouse down. Or the big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing around. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. This light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on a hill.
and I thank God for the life I owe my life to Him. Lord Jesus is a lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shown His light around me, and I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
Let's sing verse again.
Everybody that lives about us says, tear that lighthouse down, for the big ships don't sail here anymore. There's no use of it standing round. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when, just in time, I saw the light. It's the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on a hill. Sing along and you know it. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shown His light around me, that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ocean be?
You know, I'm going to tell you this right now, ladies and gentlemen. The world may try to cancel things. They may try to cancel Christ and cancel everything, but they'll never tear Him down, because Jesus is on the throne. He's coming back soon. Maranatha, perhaps today He comes. I'm excited, if you can't tell, knowing that Jesus is coming back. If you have a Bible there with you, next to you, go to Psalm chapter 11. In Psalm chapter 11, David is in a lot of ways expressing what we see happening in the world today, of what we see going on in the world today. So let's read Psalm chapter 11. Join in with me. Let somebody know. If you're on Facebook right now and you happen to come across this, tell a neighbor, tell a friend, tell somebody, hey, that crazy guy from Arizona is on again. He's teaching God's word. For the music director, a psalm of David. In Adonai, I have taken shelter. How can you say to my soul, fly like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They fix their arrows on the bowstring so they can shoot from the shadows at those who are upright of heart. If our foundations are destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Adonai is in His holy temple. Adonai's throne is in heaven. His eyes are watching. His eyelids observe the children of men. Adonai examines the righteous, but the wicked and the one loving violence His soul hates. On the wicked He will rain down fire, brimstone, and scorching wind as the portion of their cup. For Adonai loves righteous. He is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see His face. So here's David. Once again, someone's out to get him. And the people around David, those giving him counsel, say, fly like a bird to a mountain. Go somewhere. Hide out. Get away from these enemies. And David says, but my shelter is in God. You see, in today's world and what's happening today, it seems like everything is coming at people all at one time. My wife and I were talking this morning that because of the fear people have lived in over the past year, for various and sundry reasons, the spirit of fear has begun to impact the mind and body of the human race. Now, the Bible clearly teaches that God has not given his people a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Yet some of his very people today live in fear because they are looking at something outside of God as their shelter, be it their 401k, our U.S. government, or whatever. They're not looking at God as their shelter. They're not looking at God as where they should be hiding out. What we must do as believers, what we must do as those who say we are a part of the family of God, is make God our shelter, our stronghold. That is the place where we put all of our faith and trust. That's what he says in the verses 2 and 3. He says, for look, the wicked bend their bow, they fix their arrow on their bowstring, so they can shoot from the shadows at those who are upright in heart. If our foundations are destroyed, what should the righteous do? We see in the world today almost a cabal, a secret war against the faith. The Bible, Christianity, true Christianity, remnant Christianity, let me be very specific, is under attack from those who want to water down the gospel, become a social gospel, become not the word of power, a kingdom force, but they prefer to be a social force. We'll change the world through our programs. We'll never change the hearts of men. And so these groups have infiltrated the church. They're attacking from outside of the church. And I want to tell you this. If you read the book of Revelation, you understand that the church that's left here after the rapture will become complicit to the desires of the world, of the Antichrist world system. You see, the church for so long has been complicit, and complacent that we're no longer powerful. So they're asking David, they're saying, look, David, you've got people that are hiding out in the shadows waiting for their moment to strike. Our very foundations have been shaken and destroyed. But can I just tell you that in the book of Hebrews, God says something through the writer that we need to pay attention to. Yet once more I will shake the earth, so that the things that are unshakable, stable, can stay. What does that mean? It means very simply that the church is seeing a shaking. Jesus said that it will sometimes be pruned so we can grow. And as much as it's going to hurt some of your feelings, the only time the church sometimes truly grows is in persecution. Because we understand and we see who's in it for the faith and who's not. So David, in the midst of all the questions, says this. Here's what I know. Adonai is in his holy temple. Adonai's throne is in heaven. His eyes are watching, his eyelids observe the children of men. What David is saying there is something that we need to hang on to. God is on his throne. God is seated high above all powers and principalities. You see, we are fighting a war that manifests itself in the temporal, but the actual battle takes place in the spiritual realm. So often what we do in the church world is we want to focus on the physical and try to solve it through physical means. We, you know, I have no problem that God uses doctors. God uses situations. But in the middle of everything, you need to understand and you need to hang on to the situation that God alone sits on his throne. That God alone is in his amidst of his people. You see, David says God's in his temple. In the Jewish mindset, the symbolism of the temple was the place where God dwelt. physical, real place, because you have the Holy of Holies that had the the Shekinah glory came over the Ark of the Covenant. Today, by the Holy Spirit being in your life, God can sit in your temple, working in you, changing you, but you've got to give him his proper place. You are made in God's image. God is not made in yours. So what we begin to see happen, what we begin to feel and notice, is that David says, look, I can't look here, I have to look there. If your situation has gotten you to the point the only way you look is down or straight ahead, you're missing something. You need to get your eyes up. Look up to Jesus. Look up to the cross. Look up to where he has finished the work. He's defeated every foe. He made an open show of the enemy that sometimes we act like, well, once again, I'm fighting Satan this morning. Don't give him the time of day. Let the whole world know I'm looking one direction. God is on his throne. And because God is on the throne, I've got hope. Because God is on the throne, I've got victory. Because God is on the throne, I have power. Because God is on the throne, I'm going to walk out of this valley, lift my hands, and praise his holy name. David says, look, Adonai looks at the righteous, and he looks at the wicked. And he hates those whose soul loves violence. Now, what you going to say? Wait, Brother Eric, Dr. Stansberry. God is love. Yeah. And in that love, parent, sometimes you have to correct your child. God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. His soul hates those whose mind stays constantly on what they can do to you and how they can hurt you and take from you. And who is the master of that? Peter says that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Jesus says that the thief, speaking of Satan, comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's only coming to do one thing to you, and that's mess up and tear you up from the floor. David says very plainly in verse 6 that God will judge the wicked. When you go through this book, God tells his people clearly in his covenant statements, if you obey my words, if you do what I demand, your crops will prosper, your nation will prosper. And he says that over and over and over again. But, it's a conditional covenant, but if you walk away from my word, you get out of my presence, you break relationship, your crops will fail. You'll be tread underfoot. Israel went into captivity and Judah went into captivity because they turned their back on God. I've been recently listening to and examining some things about America. America, as they say. My home state of Tennessee. We're 435 years old. Yet, no democracy has lasted as long. We are beginning to see now, at this moment in time, a move toward changing our government where we no longer want to be a Judeo-Christian foundational thing. We want to go on humanism and what we want. We don't like the rule of law. We like the rule of how it feels today, rule of relativism. As we walk down that path, and I'm going to say this, and please hear me. My friends that preach about the end time revival before the rapture, there will be an end time revival, but it will not be as big as we think it will be. What will happen is that God will call the remnant to revive. We'll preach repentance. We'll preach, come to Jesus. And this gospel shall be preached in all the world. But judgment is coming. God has held back judgment for a reason, for a season. But I believe that the time of grace is almost done and the time of judgment is at hand. Verse 7, he says, for Adonai is righteous. God is a righteous God. He loves justice, and the upright will see his face. In this series, we've talked about what it means to be a pursuer of the heart of God. If he promises, you'll see my face. So often we want the hand, we want to be touched. I can be touched from a distance. What I want, what I desire more than anything else, is to be like a child and sit in the lap and see the face of my Father. See the face who sent my elder brother, his only son, to die for me and for you. My friend, if you're watching this video today and you do not know Jesus Christ, that if you were to die right now, you would not be in the presence of the Almighty God. If you were to cross, if the rapture were to take place at this moment, you would be, in the words of the books written back in the 80s, left behind to go through a time of terrible testing and terrible death and destruction. Only you know where you fit. This is what I know that the Bible clearly teaches. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You acknowledge that Yeshua, or in the Greek, or in the way we Anglicanized it, Jesus, because there's no J in Hebrew. We say, Jesus is Lord. He is Lord over all. He died for my sins. He paid my debt and my penalty. And I now openly declare my loyalty and my allegiance to the kingdom of God through the sacrifice and grafting in of what Jesus Christ has done. Once you've done that, once you've made that declaration from your heart, from out of the abundance of the heart as the mouth speak, and truly repent, look at the things in your life and say, I'm leaving, and Lord, give me the power to walk away from it all. Because I will tell you this, that the amount of victory you'll walk in is in direct proportion to the amount of God you allow to work inside of you as he changes you. That's a topic for another day. Can we pray? Father God, we thank you for all of those who have listened to this broadcast today. And in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah, I ask that if there's any out there that are lost, that today they will find you in the free pardon of sin. If there are any out there today who have backslidden and turned their back on you, that today they will come home and find you waiting for them. Lord, for those who are sick in body today, let them simply be like the woman who had the problem with blood to reach out and grab hold of the hem of your garment and be healed today. And above all else, Father, in the name of Jesus, let your name be glorified. Let your name be lifted above all other names. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and believe and ask. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer today, reach out to me either through Facebook or email me at pastorstansberry@gmail.com. If you have Bible questions, please email me. We're going to be starting very soon a side study that won't be on Facebook Live, that will be exclusively on my YouTube channel, looking at the book of Revelation in a fresh, deeper, exegetical, correct way that everybody will be able to understand and fully grasp the book of Revelation in a way that I don't think you ever have before. And anything that does that to me is worth its weight in gold. So be aware. We're probably going to start that about the second full week of August. We'll begin the recording process on those and editing so that you can hear the Word of God. It will also be available, I can't talk, as an audio podcast at Podomatic.com and Apple iTunes, and I'll start about the same week. We will continue our services live here at 8:45 Mountain Standard Time. So whenever you happen to be watching, I'm so glad that you're with me today. Remember, Maranatha, perhaps today, amen and amen. Go with God. He'll go with you. He'll love you. He'll touch you. May peace and grace be multiplied to you and to your family. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Walking in the Word with Pastor, Teacher, Evangelist Eric W. Stansberry. Feel free to email Pastor Stansberry at pastorstansberry@gmail.com. We thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Walking in the Word.